Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
He's not on some golden throne way off in outer space. He's not hiding out in some big secret hiding place. I can guarantee he'll be your friend to touch and hold. And I'm qualified to tell it, cause I've got it in control. Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Morning, friends. It's Jim Gifford and Spencer Rivers, and it's 11 after 6 o'clock on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM, the final Wednesday of April. Spence, how are you this morning?
All right. I could have stayed in bed longer. It's hard to get to sleep when your bedroom is 78 degrees.
Man, it was a little toasty last night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last time I looked at the house thermometer, it read 80, and that was about, I don't know, 6 or 7 o'clock last night.
So, wow.
Not inside, outside. Oh. The outside temperature.
Did you have to turn your air on or no?
No. Okay. Although I noticed when I came in here this morning, it was blowing. We got AC working in here this morning, but won't have to apparently for the rest of the day today.
No.
It's a bit of a change, as I suggested, from yesterday. We were at 63 or 64 yesterday. We're at 44 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the order of the day, kind of blustery.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some rain.
Yeah, looking at the radar, looks like it's there.
I forgot to check the Weather Channel's not serving up much in the way of rain, though, today, for whatever reason. I saw earlier, well, they're talking about some isolated thunderstorms around the 7 o'clock hour this morning. So I guess it's just going to be a bit iffy today. But Matt Rudkin and Kerry Pujol and the crew there at Channel 22 kept hammering away at this much cooler near the lake thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Apparently, I don't know if they're getting a lot of complaints from up this way. Saying, hey, your forecast is wrong. Which is how everybody along the lakeshore talks. I don't know if you know whether or not you've ever noticed that. But they, for the last couple of day and a half anyway, have been saying, it's going to be maybe 70 tomorrow morning. You guys along the lakeshore, you'll be lucky to get out of the 40s. And maybe that's kind of where we're at here. And for both today and tomorrow, thanks in part to this system that's rolling through here in the winds out of the northwest. But it turns around then again shortly thereafter. And Friday, mid-50s, and Saturday and Sunday up around 70, so that's okay.
Yay, yard work can be done.
Yay-hoo. Now, the Michigan weather folks are serving up this for the next couple of days. Strong to severe storms.
Oh.
And the cities that they've put in this, the path of these thunderstorms are Iron Mountain, Menominee, Escanaba, Traverse City, Mount Pleasant, Grand Rapids, Lansing, and Benton Harbor.
Oh, how about that now?
Not St. Joe, just Benton Harbor. So that's their take on it. And as far as any drought relief this time around, What the National Weather Service is suggesting that there will be 4 shots at least decent rain over the next 10 days.
Oh.
So you put those numbers down somewhere and then throw them away. Not every one of us will get to rain at each of these opportunities, but 10 days before all of Michigan will have at least, they're saying, and half an inch to an inch of rain. So over the next 10 days, we should get some much-needed rain and water.
As long as it's not on the weekend, I'm happy.
There you go. Now, speaking of the weekend, I see that we got a couple of weekend events returning to St. Joe this coming summer. And I'm sure we'll talk more about this tomorrow when Danielle Crevier checks in from St. Joe today. But they got the go-ahead to reimagine Chalk the Block. for this summer. One of the many things that were canceled last year because of the pandemic. But that's in early August. And then the Tri-State Regatta apparently will return this year.
Oh, good.
Over the Labor Day weekend.
Excellent.
So, and those things are certainly far enough out that, fingers crossed, we may be back to even more normal conditions by then than what we're looking at now. And to that end, we'll run through some of the new CDC masking guidelines here momentarily as well. So, well, we got that going for us. Some summer events coming back in St. Joe. That's a positive, I'm thinking. On the subject of things coming through here, like weather fronts, another thing coming through, according to the experts, are birds. You might notice a little extra activity at the bird feeder here in the next several days.
Good.
Although this change in the winds may have changed that already. What's been happening here with these strong southern winds bringing up this warm air to us here over the last several days, apparently it's been bringing along a bunch of spring songbirds with them, because the birds, especially at night, tend to ride those ride with the wind. Who did that? Was that Bob Seger?
No, it's Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross? Okay. Anyway, when the southern winds are strong like that, they'll get up on them and ride so they don't have to flap so hard on their on their way north. So there's a website called Birdcast that actually keeps track of this stuff. Mm-hmm. and takes a look at bird clouds that show up on radar. And again, a lot of this happens at night, so you will never, ever see this.
Oh, okay.
But in case you're interested in the numbers, more than 200 million migratory birds are predicted to be on the move overnight here, last night and into the next couple of nights. So I don't know if we're trying to build a wall to keep them out too, but they are on their way, whether you like it or not. These birds, for the most part, fly north along the Mississippi Flyway, which apparently is a major migration corridor, and Michigan is a critical stop on their journey farther north. So you may see some warblers and flycatchers and tanagers and sparrows and even orioles at your bird feeder here very soon, if you haven't already.
You mean my squirrel feeder?
Well, yeah, if that's what's going on. I, for a while, had figured out how to keep them off the feeders. I had rigged up some baffles that actually worked for a little while. But, you know, the thing about those baffles when you buy them, and I saw a squirrel do this, well, they have something that they rest on when you put them on the pole. I saw a squirrel figure out that he could push it all the way up. He would get underneath it and push it all the way up until he got close enough to the bird feeder to hang off it and dine in peace. So then I rigged up something where he couldn't push it up anymore, and then it worked for a while. And then I don't know what happened, but now they're all over the place again.
Did you get those at the Baroda Baffles? Or?
Yes. Yeah, they were a part of that. What was that old canvas shop that used to be over here on M-139? Benton Harbor Tent and Awning.
Oh, okay.
It was a subsidiary of Benton Harbor. Baroda Baffles, a subsidiary of Benton Harbor Tent and Awning. Is that place still over there? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It seemed to have been around like forever. So the winds are bringing the birds, and again, they ride those winds so they don't have to fly so hard. And the birders, apparently, I look at the birds out back, and they're fun and that kind of stuff. I wouldn't consider myself a birder, but I'm going to have some time on my hands, so.
Yeah, you will.
That may be a possibility, but they, apparently for birders, springtime is a good time for watching them. Because even though they migrate the other way in the fall in just as big a numbers, you tend to not see them as much because there's more foliage on the trees and you can't see them. But in the spring coming this way,
you know, that makes perfect sense.
There's less obstruction between your binoculars and the birds that you are seeking.
I have an animal story for you if we have time.
You do, little Tommy?
Okay. It's probably the last place you'd expect to find a bunch of wild hogs, but a cemetery in Dallas, Texas had been vandalized by pigs. They knocked over headstones and threw piles of dirt on them. The cemetery has even had to hire hog trappers to set up cages so they can catch them. The groundskeeper tells us the damage is the worst he's ever seen.
Who knew that hog trapper was a choice as a vocation?
What are they doing in this cemetery?
And how big are those traps?
Oh, my gosh. The wild hogs are they're good size.
And they're nasty. I saw a video one time of a farmer out in a cornfield coming through with his harvester.
Mm-hmm.
And the edge of the field was all mowed down, so it was wide open. as this harvester is approaching the open field there, coming through the cornfield, out in front of it comes this herd of wild hogs that were all hiding in the corn. It was the most bizarre thing you ever saw, just out of the blue. Honest to God, there were 20 or 30 of these things.
Really?
Charging out of the corn.
Now, we don't have those around here, do we?
No, our hogs are all tame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and delicious. So that's what we know in that regard. Later this morning, we're going to be going through the what has truly been accomplished by the Biden administration, as we are now at 100. I think tomorrow is officially the first 100 days, and we'll tell you why that's even relevant after the 7 o'clock news. But one note here from Joe Biden and his crew in Washington. I mean, they keep making noise about dealing with taxes and tax cheats and raising taxes on the wealthy. And he's apparently going to continue to pursue this. In fact, to the tune of giving the Internal Revenue Service an additional $80 billion to go after the high earners and big corporations who are not paying either their fair share or, in many instances, anything at all. He's hoping that this plan will find those who are hiding income from the government. They say there are billions, if not close to trillions of dollars that are sitting out there that should be coming into federal coffers that are not. And he's hoping that this will fund his child care and education and other programs. So that's that $80 billion is almost a 70% increase of IRS funding over the last decade. They've been slowly but surely chopping away at the Internal Revenue Service as far as personnel and ability to do what they're supposed to do. So we'll see how that goes. But again, we'll take a closer look at what the first 100 days have accomplished after the 7 o'clock news. When we come back in page 2 of your morning announcements, the new CDC mask guidelines here on WSJM, but sports and a win for the Tigers. But there is some rain out there this morning. The winds are out of the west-northwest at 5 at News Talk Sports, 94.9 WSJM.
Good morning! Good morning! Good morning! Good morning!
Good morning. It's 6:41. Studio audience is awakened and joining us here this morning.
They're up early this morning.
They
My
are
goodness.
Up early this morning. Must be special for breakfast today.
Oh, yeah.
Eggs and bacon.
And medication.
And the meds. I think my granddaughter's obsession with Uncle Grandpa, the cartoon, which is what that's from, is waning.
Oh.
Although I think at times she just wants to watch it because she knows that I get a kick out of it. So, anyway, we move on here to page 2 of your morning announcements on the 28th of April, a day on which we come before you with new CDC mask guidelines.
Woo! Yippee! Yay!
I don't know what to make of all of this, Spence, except that I think it's a step toward a return to normalcy, although I heard plenty of warnings about being too complacent about this whole thing yesterday from the medical folks, which is, again, where I tend to get my information. I tend not to get my information from TV talking heads, or my medical information from TV talking pundits or politicians.
What about the newspaper checkout line?
Yeah, that's still a pretty good source. Now, if the news people are actually talking to or hearing from someone in the medical profession, I will listen. But if they're giving their opinions, no thank you. But what we're hearing now from the CDC is that fully vaccinated Americans, that would be you and me, you're beyond the two-week post-second shot time frame, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you and I, and many others, are fully vaccinated. So, according to the CDC, we no longer need to wear a mask outdoors anymore unless we're in a big crowd of strangers.
Oh, we're hoping not now, to be.
How do you make that determination as to whether the crowd you're in is full of strange people?
Well, some of the people I know are strange.
Well, now you have to do some sort of a mental calculation each time you're out outdoors and you come upon a group of people. You have to make that assessment right away. Are these strangers or not? But you know what they're saying. They're basically, if you're outdoors, say, walking down Michigan Avenue in Chicago, that's a big crowd of strangers.
Well, yeah.
You might want to wear a mask there. But if you're, hanging around the house and you've got a family and maybe some friends over, then that's not a big deal. So those who are unvaccinated can go without face coverings outside in some cases, too. And this is where it gets confusing. Again, it seems like they're basically dumping this on you. You decide whether you are okay in a given situation wearing a mask or not. CDC says that fully vaccinated or not, people do not have to wear masks outdoors when they're walking, biking, or running alone or with members of their household. And you see already a lot of that going on. Have you seen some of the baseball games of late? You've got, got little pods of people, four, five, six people all sitting together, no masks on. Very likely family members.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's workable and okay. They can also go maskless in small outdoor gatherings with fully vaccinated people. So now we're mixing the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, but we don't know exactly what a small group means. So what is exactly a small outdoor gathering? Unvaccinated people, defined by the CDC, as those of you who have yet to receive both doses, or the one-shot Johnson & Johnson, should wear masks at outdoor gatherings that include other unvaccinated people. So I don't know if... how are we going to keep track?
Are
we going to keep track of all this?
Are we going to have to wear a badge now or something?
Well, you'd think, or some sort of a little flashing button or something. If it's flashing red, you're unvaccinated, stay away. If it's flashing green, you're okay to go. Fully vaccinated people do not need to cover up in these situations, according to the CDC. However, everyone should keep wearing masks at crowded outdoor events like concerts or sporting events. Where did I see this the other day? In the galleries at the most recent PGA tour event down in New Orleans. They had pretty sizable galleries of, I don't know if they let everybody in or if they did restrict the numbers or what, but they had goodly numbers of people surrounding the green, particularly down toward the end of the tournament because it came right down to the end. And just a quick scan as the camera was going, across the group of people there, I don't think I saw anybody with a mask on.
Really?
And they were all shoulder to shoulder and so on and so forth. So, and that's where, the warnings I saw repeatedly yesterday from healthcare officials saying, you know, just keep in mind that we're, you know, while we are moving ahead of the game as far as vaccinations are concerned, there is still the possibility of sliding backwards again.
Yeah.
And they keep bringing up India as an example. Now, they just went goofy over in India. They had just, they opened it wide up and just allowed massive unmasked get-togethers, many of them religious-oriented and so on and so forth. There was holidays of some sort. There's all kinds of video of just gigantic groups of people, none of them wearing masks. And then, well, now we see what happened. They've got people dying in hallways. They have no oxygen. People are suffocating. They can't get treated. Now, family members are trying to treat their own. It's just, it's an absolute mess over there. And that's the warning we keep getting from healthcare people. And I know that there are plenty of people that still think that this is all bogus and all nonsense. And I don't know where you're getting your information from, but because every person on the, in the medical field of note that I've heard from continues to say the same things. Are we learning more and different information as time progresses? Well, absolutely. As witnessed by the fact that we don't have to care much about this whole wiping everything down with Clorox and all that kind of stuff anymore. Because we have learned that it is almost exclusively airborne. But early on, we didn't know, so we took precautions. So anyway, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I wish I could be more definitive as to what this all means. But for those that are fully vaccinated, it sounds like you are in better position to walk around outdoors without a mask. And just stay away from strangers. All right.
I try to do that anyway.
Especially if they're trying to get you to get into their van.
Or giggling.
Yeah. Oh, my. All right. So have we had enough of that? Yes, we have. All right. Moving on. Something else that sounds a bit worrisome. New study says climate change has shifted the Earth's axis.
Oh.
What? Wait a minute. This sounds like some sort of a science fiction movie. Every year, as the globe continues to warm, hundreds of billions of tons of ice are melting into the Earth's oceans. And since 1980, the location of both of the Earth's poles, that would be north and south, have moved about 13 feet.
Wow.
So I don't know what that means exactly. Not large enough of a difference, they say, to affect daily life. But they do say that melting glaciers around the world has moved the North and South Poles eastward. And this has been going on since the mid-1990s. So,
wow.
Just something else to worry about as you try to figure out whether that group of people that you are coming upon in your outdoor ventures are strangers or not. Stranger danger! Stranger danger! And from the finally file this morning, finally, Apple following through on its pledge to crack down on Facebook and other Snoopy apps that secretly shadow you on your phone to help sell more advertising. This is really ticking off Jeff Bezos and particularly Mark Zuckerberg, because that's how they've built their platforms. Snoop it on you to gather, you know, all the information they can and send you the appropriate or perhaps inappropriate ads that they want to send you. So the new privacy feature dubbed Ab Tracking Transparency rolled out Monday, part of an update to their operating system there. Basically, what it does is it requires that you opt in to this tracking stuff. Uh-huh. Right now, it happens automatically, and you have to go into settings and try to find it and opt out.
Right.
So this is an opt-in versus an opt-out situation. The people that want your data are not happy. This would might be enough to convince me to switch from Android to Apple.
Oh.
I've never had an Apple, have you?
No.
An iPhone?
No,
I haven't either. I've been Android since the beginning. So for whatever that's worth.
I'm still got the Palm Pilot that I'm using.
So. or BlackBerry.
Yeah, the you remember when those were the hottest things?
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
had to have a BlackBerry.
Absolutely.
Phone.
Yeah.
My goodness, I had one for a while. I really liked it.
I wonder if anybody even has one, or if they are even functional anymore. I don't know.
I'll have to look up on their website and see if they're still selling them or not.
All right, one final note here on page 2 of your morning announcements. If you're still not convinced that the auto industry is all in on electric vehicles, word out this week that Ford Motor Company is going to accelerate their battery development, devoting 150 people to the new Ford Ion Park. $185 million project focused on battery technology. They're building this thing in Southeast Michigan, going to open next year, not specific on the location or how many new jobs might be created. And it's not like they're planning to manufacture a bunch of batteries. This is about development of future battery technology here. So part of the inspiration is they've had supply chain issues, as have so many other people and so many other businesses. But those challenges have prompted them to try to bring this stuff in-house and develop it and, you know, move forward going that way instead of having to rely on outside sources. So with each passing week and month, more and more evident that the automakers are going all electric. You know, and I don't know whether it happened in your or my lifetime, but I believe it's going to happen.